We have to show demand.
About ready to get started, but before you do, everybody needs to go back and get a donut and some soda or a coffee. According to Slim. Slim says you gotta eat donuts.
That's fresh.
Okay, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. And I'd like to welcome everybody to today's meeting, Technical Advisory Committee meeting. And we always start off with self-introductions, and I guess we'll start off to my left, and we'll go with Bethany.
Bethany Wild with Cuyahoga.
Mike Payne, Lawrence County Transit.
Bree, I'm the planning director for the City of Huntington.
Beth Lozier, Gagne County Assistant Engineer.
Brett Booth, Gagne County Engineer.
Ex-Play, Lawrence County.
Let's start here.
Jennifer Woodall, Tri-State Transit Authority.
Kevin Sullivan, Western Indiana Planning.
Jody Sigmund, type.
Paul Young, Cuyahoga.
Kelly Johnson, Executive Director of the Office of Transportation.
Carrie Hamilton, Transportation.
Kara Graham, Charleston MPO.
Thomas Witt, KYTC Central Office Planning.
Ricky Green, FIFO Area Development District.
Kelly Ward, representing Greenup County and FIFO.
Sherry Sicken, Cuyahoga.
Salim Salami, Cuyahoga.
I think we missed.
I'm Jody.
Jody?
Chris, CDOH.
Good to see you, Chris. Yeah, good to see you, Chris. And I'm Paul Davis, and I'm also with CTA, the City Bus System here in Huntington. Well, all right, so the first item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes from October 1st, 2019, and they have been distributed.
I just read them. I'll make a motion.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second? Has to be Patrick or one of the engineers from Ohio.
My chair was squeaking.
Did I take that as a second?
Yeah.
All right. So it's been probably moved, and we have a second, hard second, but all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, God, it was weak. Opposed, same sign. All right. Motion carries. Oh, people on the phone. We have people on the phone.
Good morning. This is Manuch Amir with CDM Smith.
This is Kirsten Frank Hoppe with RLS and Associates.
Good morning. This is Abby Lowe with FTA Region 3.
Dan Hake with HDR.
And Dina Miller with QK4.
Laura Brown with RLS and Associates.
And Kendra Shake with Burgess and Maple.
Okay, well, sorry I missed you guys on the phone. Thanks, Jody, for reminding me that they were on the phone. We didn't make it real bad, but we did. Okay, item number three, but welcome the folks on the phone. Thank you. Cuyahoga's Transportation Study Projects and Updates. We have a limit of 3 minutes per presentation. So we have Manuch is going to give us the High River Bridge Crossing Study update.
Good morning, everyone. I provided the PowerPoint slides for you. The first slide is just the opening slide. We go right to the schedule. As basically everything is outlined. We're on target, moving along with project activities. We're on target to complete the final report by June 30th. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about the public involvement. The third slide, we had a very proactive and really excellent public meeting in November 20th. We also have a project website, which we're getting a lot of hits. People are interested. We sent out a lot of postcards to the neighborhood as part of our public outreach. We also posted surveys with the Herald Dispatch and also had the public opinion survey on the project's website. So the results were that we had, I would just say probably over 150 to 170 people attended the public meeting at the Cuyahoga's office. We have received over 200 responses. On my slide, I've got 211, but the latest count is 233 responses. Mostly positive responses. Obviously, there's going to be a few people that they're against the project, but overall, I would say a tremendous amount of support for the project. And the last slide, the bottom of the project schedule, we're looking at a draft report to be submitted in mid-March. Along with that, we'll have our second public meeting, probably, I would just say, towards the latter part of April, early May. And then we'll incorporate public responses into our final report on June 30th. So I think I'm my 3-minute time limit. I can answer any questions if anyone has any questions.
Hey, is there any questions or anything for Mnuch? Okay. You know, it sounds like you're off the hook. So the next item
you,
on
sir.
Our
–
thank you, sir. Appreciate it. The next item on the agenda is the safety study for Campbell and Wayne counties. I think Steve with Burchison-Nyphal is on there. Steve speaking.
It's actually Kendra Shank, but taking Steve's place today.
Okay.
So.
Well, thank you.
So thank you, guys. Just provide a quick update for the safety study for Campbell and Wayne County. So the second slide there, just a reminder of our study purpose and goals. We're focusing on the urban areas of Campbell and Wayne County to improve the safety network, the safety transportation network in the counties. Go ahead and go to the next slide there, the timeline. We just wrapped up last month our stakeholder and public engagement process, the last two meetings we held back in January. So now we're really forwarding on to the draft report and implementation plan. In the next slide, slide four, this is just a quick overview of kind of how we got to the point of where we are. We started at the countywide level and kept drilling down into more specific locations, and now we're in the implementation section. So keep going forward there, talking about how we got to our countermeasures implementation prioritization. We did a crash analysis. We actually looked at each of the crash reports at these locations and got information about the location and identified crash patterns. So this graphic here to the right on the slide actually shows a snapshot from the crash report as to what kind of crash was occurring that will help us identify countermeasures. And then on the next slide, we did a site visit at each location and took photos that documented some deficiencies that could be contributing to some of these crash patterns, which helped us in identifying implementation strategies. So looking at the countermeasures, the next slide there, we pulled together a multidisciplinary team of roadway and traffic engineers because we bring a different set of skills to the table when we're looking at improvement options. And we looked to determine if it was feasible based on cost, impact, and the level of benefit. So in other words, if we're trying to mitigate very few crashes, say 5 crashes, we wouldn't build an overpass type improvement. That's just not feasible for the level of benefit that we're getting. And then lastly, is it constructible? So at the end of the day, we want everything to get built. So if it wasn't constructible, we didn't move it forward for the process. So the next slide there, we looked at the benefit-cost ratio. So the safety benefit, which is calculated based on crash costs and the estimated benefit of the improvement options compared to the construction costs, their benefit-cost ratio. For the next slide, the general countermeasures we kind of came up with for most intersections were clearance intervals, or the yellow and all red times. Properly timed clearance intervals can reduce angle and rear end crashes. They're calculated based on the geometry of the intersection, and it's overall pretty nominal cost. It's just a matter of doing the calculations and then reprogramming the controller. The bigger one is signal head visibility, so installing backplates or LED signal heads like shown in the picture there can also reduce angle and rear end crashes. The biggest thing is we needed to determine if the existing signal can support the added weight and wind load of the backplate. So that's going to be a next step for implementation coming out of this plan is to determine if the signals can support that. So then on the next slide there is a picture of our layout that we did. We have one of these for each of the locations that just kind of summarizes the crash pattern, the next step of implementation, as well as our identified countermeasures, cost improvements, and benefits. So right now we're developing our implementation plan that has four features, four key components, the priority, which we're basing on our implementation process here, the responsible parties, whether that be DOH, Kiowa, or the local agency, as well as the time frame. We want to make sure that we're not going to recommend 10 improvement projects in a year when really only two or three could be funded. And then leading into what other funding sources could be fined. One of the topics mentioned at our stakeholder meeting was signal upgrade projects. Could we tie that into some of these safety improvements? So looking at, can we combine some projects there? And then lastly, we'll be looking at non-infrastructure strategies. So these are really related to education and enforcement, as well as EMS response time. So this could be targeted enforcement for alcohol-related driving or increased education for our younger drivers. So we'll be identifying some strategies for that as well. So the last slide there is our next steps. We're currently compiling the comments that we got for the recommendations from the stakeholders regarding our implementation ideas. And then we'll develop a draft implementation plan and circulate that for comment and input by the end of February. And then we'll have a draft report ready to go in March for circulation and comment. And then the final report will be completed in May. But then the final step will be implementation. So our goal is that this plan doesn't sit on the shelf. It actually, we have improvements that get implemented. So with that, I will take any questions.
Well, any questions, anybody? Looks like you're off the hook. Thank you for the presentation and stepping in for Steve.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. So we have the next item on our agenda is the Boyd County Green Up Freight Plan. And Daniel?
Yep. Thank you, sir. On behalf of HDR, I'm excited to be starting this freight plan that focuses on Greenup and Boyd County, but really takes in aspects of the surrounding areas. Obviously, your MPO is three states. The plan does a lot of different things, but I primarily wanted to focus today on two tasks. One is the comprehensive existing conditions review, so looking at how freight moves around those two counties today, you know, looking at bottlenecks and safety issues and making sure we integrate those lessons from the next project you're about to hear from, you know, looking at truck parking and congestion and, you know, really getting down to how are the trucks operating in your in those two counties. The second large part of the project that I also wanted to talk about was a focus on economic development. So after we do that initial look at how the system's functioning today, we want to look at, you know, you have some major proposed projects in those two counties. So, you know, if those two things happen, what are those impacts and how does it fit within that? So if you put, you know, X number of trucks on the network, how is the ability of the network to sustain that movement? And then also looking at, you know, other potential opportunities. So are there parcels of land that could be developed, you know, based on transportation site selection criteria, or you know, are there rail connectivity opportunities? And all of this would fold up into an overarching prioritization effort. We're currently working through the KYTC process, and we look forward to getting started on the project soon.
Any questions for Daniel?
Just we need to know if when the next kickoff meeting for the project is.
They're still working on the contract.
Oh, still in the contract.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. And the next item is Boyd Greenup County Small Urban Area Transportation Safety Study. And we have Deanna Miller from UK.
Good morning. Yeah, UK I'm Dina Miller with QK4 Incorporated, and we will be talking about the Boyd Greenup Small Urban Area Safety Study, item number 9-406, and we'll go to the next slide. KYTC and Kiowa initiated the study to identify safety and congestion issues in Boyd and Greenup County. It began in June of 2019, and it's funded through the Kiowa Surface Transportation Block Grant Program. If you notice the image on the right, that is the study area boundary, and it contains roughly 50 square miles, and it begins at I-64 at two different points, following US 60 and US 23 through Ashland, past Industrial Parkway, into the city of Greenup and Greenup County. We are studying roughly 90 miles of state maintained routes and 11 miles of local routes. And we'll go to the next slide. Study task we have completed to date. We have completed an inventory of the existing roadway conditions, traffic operations analyses for current year 2020 and future year 2050. We have conducted safety analysis using the 3 years of historical crash data from January 16 through December 18, and we have found 25 segments and 80 spots with critical crash rate factors of 1.0 or higher. We have completed our first project team and local official stakeholders meetings, and we have conducted two public meetings, one in Greenup County and one in Boyd County. We launched a website for public input in January, and it was closed on February 11th, 2020. And the next slide. Study tasks that we are currently working on are collating public input from the website and the meetings, and we received 316 comments either online or in person. We are now identifying the potential improvement concepts to take to project team meeting number two that will be held March 13, 2020 at the KYTC District 9 office in Flemingsburg. And the image you see on the screen is the study area where comments were made. Each individual dot is a separate comment. Next. And as far as what we have left to do, after the March 13th project meeting, we will be submitting a traffic forecast report, and then our final local official stakeholders meeting will be held to present the improvement concepts that we've come up with and for that group to prioritize them, which will then be presented to the final project team meeting for final recommendations. And after all that's complete, we should have a final report submitted to you by the end of August of this year. Next slide. And if you have any questions, you can contact any of these people, and we will answer anything you've got. Thank you.
Okay, Deanna, thank you. Is there any questions? Deanna? All right. So there's no questions. All right. Well, thank you very much, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, now we're down to item number four. And which is the 2021-2024 TIP development. And Salim or Jody? Salim.
Yeah, Jody. I'd say, tell me something, Jody. This is a new TIP, by the way, for the fiscal year 21-24. And just to make the things easy, if you go to the abstract, that second page roughly, it's basically, briefly describe the process and describe the most important things. Basically cover the project from 2021 through 2024. Also, this document describe the status of the regional transportation plan, describe anticipated funding, and also address the air quality status for this document. And slightly address the Kiowa performance target. As it mentioned, the first draft was due on the 7th, February 7th, and the final draft is due on the April 30th. And for this group, it's good to go to page 53 to show you the project listing. That's what is concerned. Also, the first draft is will be adopted by Kiowa Policy Board on the 21st based on any comments received, which will be addressed into the final draft April 30th, 2020. I'd like to mention also will be a series of public meetings for review or comments on this draft. It's starting in the last week of March 2020 in West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio. Exact location are not determined yet, but it will be reflected on the website, because we're supposed to coordinate with the District 9, ODOT, and District Office in West Virginia and Kentucky to decide on this location. And we need really still comments. We can accept comments, and I said the final will be finalized on the April 30th. And we need really a motion from this body to recommend this document to be adopted by table policy board.
I make a motion that we move the 2021-2024 TIF development plan onto the policy board convention on comments.
Okay. All right.
And the, again, the document is available. It still has enough time to comment.
So properly moved and seconded is, are we all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. You guys need some more coffee or a donut or something. I mean, it's weak. Motion carries. Thank you. Item number five, presentation of the Kiowa FY21 draft unified work program for the Huntington, West Virginia, the urbanized area.
Yeah, I think that's the document that you have it in your packet. Basically, just to make the things easy and everybody, if you go to, if you flip the page, it will be an abstract. Basically, that describes, briefly describe what's going on in this document. As we mentioned, this is an annual document produced by Kiowa to meet the funding agency's requirements for transportation planning activity. And this also, if you go to the second page, it shows the table of contents, especially in we have section one introduction, but section two, it's really that's what your main concern, show you all the activities. The joint funding between the three states, and also we have FTA line item, the sovereign transit activity by Kentucky, and that's the documents you have time to review. If you look at the schedule of these documents, the draft is due March 6th by West Virginia DOT and Kentucky Cabinet and Ohio DOT, and the final is due in May 1st. Of course, this draft work program, it was supposed to be adopted by Kiowa Policy Board on February 21st, based on only comments received from Federal Highway Administration, division offices in Columbus, Charleston, Frankfort, Kentucky, state DOTs, local sponsors, and will be addressed all the comments in the final draft. It's an annual document, and
okay.
It is the roadmap for Kiowa during the year.
Okay, we'll need a motion to move this forward to the policy board. Do I hear a motion to that effect? Okay, we got a first. Chris, you want a second? All right. Been properly moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, the ayes have it. Thank you. Okay, item number six, Kentucky Title VI participation plan, Terry Sicking. Yeah, I'm a little slow this morning.
Okay, so really this is going to be a quick update is that the Title VI plan, we had to submit to Kentucky Civil Rights Group. They have a big, long name. But anyway, and we received notification back from them that everything was good, so we can proceed with that. And those we have to do that annually. We also submitted to the Transportation Delivery, and they had some comments, and we updated it for that. But so, like I said, that document's good for another year. And then the participation plan, which we presented to the policy board, which was approved at the last meeting, it is actually completed. It's been approved. It's online. If anybody has any questions about it, they can just get online and look at that document as well. So that's all I've got on that.
Just I want to add something, and there is Terry, she is the main person of the Title VI participation plan. If you go to the work program, there is a Title VI compliance questionnaire. If you can read that, I think page B7, the other boy, and basically describe Kiowa compliance. It's a requirement by Ohio DOT. You have to comply to answer.
Very good. Thank you, Celine. Okay, so we're moving on to number seven, regional transit activities, and it looks like there's a number of things here, and it looks like Terry's going to start us off on public transportation safety plan?
Yeah, I will. And then I'm going to let RLS go ahead and take some of it, then I'm going to come back and finish it.
Okay.
So the public transportation agency safety plan, they've changed, well, they had the final rule, and the effective date is that was July 19, 2019. These have to be completed by July 20th. Right now, I'm just kind of jumping, I'm going to say West Virginia, CCA's had theirs, they're working with the state of West Virginia, and you should have your draft or maybe the final by now.
It's close.
It's just getting close, so they're going to definitely meet the guideline or the deadline. And Mike has been working with ODOT, and so they're going to be, they'll not have a problem with that.
I think we'll receive the final draft from...
Everybody, this is Laura. I'll be here for Kelly today. we worked with mostly Kelly Sean, but on his behalf, I'll say that he worked with Ashland to develop their PTASP and worked them through all the phases of it and prepared a draft that is currently under review and will be standing by to make any future, you know, any changes or anything like that, answer any questions that need to be made, and should be on track to meet the compliance date to complete it in July, by July 20th, well before that. And that's all I have about PTASP.
And the city of Ashland, they have to put it through two readings of their commissioners. And so they really need to get this finished. And I guess somebody was saying, asked about why is it taking Ashland so long, if they've actually had a change again in their transit operations. And so Michelle Grubb, that was there as the transit supervisor, is now the public information officer of the city of Ashland. And they brought in Randy Wheeler back in to be the interim transit supervisor. So, and then I guess the compliance officer has to review this document, and he just hasn't gotten, I mean, with all the changes. So we've been working with them, and RLS, Laura, and Kelly have been really working with them closely to try to make sure that they have all that. And the next item, Laura or in Kirsten, about the Lawrence County Transit Study, do you want to go into a little bit about what you've done with that?
Yes. Hi, this is Kirsten. You guys should have a handout with you. We presented back in, October, I guess, last year, talking about the alternatives plan that we're looking at, and we've made some good progress. The driver's survey and rider's surveys have come back. What they're looking for, the drivers suggest that the routes would benefit from visiting additional grocery stores, government offices, and additional neighborhoods. And then the riders had very similar responses. They'd like to do some more food, but also non-food shopping. They also asked for things like weekend service or later hours. So we're going to evaluate that. We're not making any promises there. Looking at the routes, the other findings that we have sort of to present so far, the two different routes, though, if you look at the east and west sides of the county, the east side, the Proctorville and Huntington circulator, is performing above the west side, Ironton, and Ashland loop. So we're looking at that, but spending a little more time working on the west side, on the Ironton and Ashland routes, what might be alternatives that improve the performance there. And we have been doing some demographic analysis as well. the little chart on the bottom, the area, the block group that shows the greatest transit need relates to the map on the second side of the handout, or page two of the handout. You'll see that this is the map of transit propensity. The transit propensity is a combination of factors like where you have a high proportion of seniors relative to the general population, where you have a high proportion of zero vehicle households, again with relative to the general population. So we combine some of those demographic factors and come up with places where green has a lower transit propensity, and the yellow, orange, and then red has the higher transit propensity. That's where we would pick up more riders. And you can see again in Ironton actually has the higher transit propensity, and that red little block group on the far west side of Ironton is where that that chart, those details come from. So your total population relative to your seniors, the folks living in poverty, and zero vehicle households. Those are all very high rates. And so combined, that's the one little red piece where we have a very high transit propensity, and we need to figure out how to serve in that area as best we can. So with that kind of information, we're pulling all of that together. We're talking about gathering the remaining agency input. These are the stakeholder agencies and potential contracting agencies, folks that might have clients that need transportation. We're looking at developing, again, several route options, and then evaluating those options with ridership estimates and costs. And we still also would like to bring back some information about peer systems for comparison. Any questions?
No questions.
Just if possible, maybe you mentioned that. We need to know when this study should be concluded officially.
Officially, I think we're actually targeting the end of March to have the draft information to you. So this being the closer to the end of February, we've got about a month left.
We are waiting on the agency and employer survey response.
Okay.
So they're kind of in a holding pattern, so if we get that to them, we've been pushing them to do that, but it's not push a harder. So it's really, it's not our OS, we probably would have finished up, but we need that information. And that'll be a lot of things.
Also, we need to know, like, we know this study or the outcome of this study should be funded by, hopefully, by CMAQ, by CMAQ funds. We need to know where there is any update on the CMAQ eligibility for the new routes or for the extended routes.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to come with the ridership estimates. That's, I think, going to be what we base a lot of the CMAQ eligibility on, is improving the ridership over what it currently provides.
Okay. Very good. So do we move on to the rideshare program?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next thing on here is the rideshare program, and it's called Go Ohio. We have been working with the other MPOs through the state of Ohio about a program where our the individuals can get onto a website and they can type their contact information and where they want to go, how they want to go, and they will match them up with another person. It will also go so far, if you're in a larger metropolitan area, it will also go as far as to tell you, okay, so if you ride your bike to station A, you can get on a bus there and take, you know, put your bus on the front of the rack of the bus and go to point B and get your bike and then, you know, to give you a route to, you know, to drive, ride your bike on there. So, I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, platforms that we can use this on, but our big goal right now is we are going to be pushing to get individuals to be entered into the system, because if we have nobody in there, there's nobody to match up to give them a ride. So, you know, it's a matter of, you know, what you have your data in there to match up. Now, you know, Jody and I have gone down and we belong, Ohio belongs to a working group through air quality, through OARC. We're going to, this is all new to us, and so we're going to work with a couple of the NPOs that have a really great program, and they have offered their assistance with handouts and whatnot. I mean, anything that we can have that we can just change the logo on. But are you bringing that up, Jody?
Yeah.
Okay. Terry, just as we mentioned to them, actually, anybody from Kentucky also, they can access that work, that's ride share program. If you live in Kentucky, Point and Greenup, and how about Gallia? They can access it.
Somebody can actually.
If somebody access, actually, it's free. They can access from Gallia County.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's everywhere, to be honest with you. And, you know, we, because our funding source is directly from Ohio, we can only really publicize and put out information for Ohio. But that doesn't mean that it can't, since we are a region and we provide transportation to the whole entire region, that we can't let everyone know that. So say someone from Ironton wants to go over to the technical college over downtown Ashland. You know, they can put that information in and hook up with someone that's, you know, maybe, you know, somewhere, you know, at the Kroger in Russell and get over to ACTC. So, you know, there's different ways to do it. Now, like I said, this is, he's got it up, and you can't really get into it until, unless you, I mean,
right,
you have a username and what it, you know, part of it. So they do have to sign up. Someone had asked about safety, security, you know, how do you make sure that you're going to be safe with the person? Well, it's, and we posed that question to the others, to the working group, and they said that they have never had an issue with that. But they do highly suggest, like on those dating apps, that you maybe meet somewhere and, you know, that's secure and make sure that you feel comfortable with them. But they said that they've never had an issue with anybody, you know, being abused or in any violence or anything with that. So we're going to be working on this and hopefully get a lot more information to you all. But right now, just go, if you just Google Go Ohio.
It's GoOhioCommute.com.
Yeah, and you can get on there. So you can go ahead and enter your information in there if you want to.
Sure.
Pass the information along to others. I belong with Vicki to another group called Access to Transportation.
Access to Care.
Access to Care. Okay, well, sorry. But, and so we've kind of extended this as to, you know, let them have this as well. And it services the region, too. There's groups with Bellefonte Hospital, which we know that they might not be a partner with us for very long, but there's other agencies throughout the Kentucky area. So there's also, and this is not on here, but because this is just kind of came up yesterday, there's a survey on SurveyMonkey, and I can get that out to email it out, and it helps individuals determine where people are trying to go for transportation, and it's really, it is access to care. But it's kind of also ask questions about, well, how do you get to, you know, ACTC out on Technology Drive, out the other where they do a lot of the FICO offers and a lot of the technical programs out there. So, so it's not only healthcare, it's also getting people to and from work or to school. So I can get that link.
Yeah, if possibly, Patrick, if you can help us to market this program, it's a free, no cost, and it helps you, the residents of these two counties, actually, for medical appointment in Cleveland, medical Columbus, it's free, and actually, they have a commitment for this program, 3 years of funds, if they're going to measure the success, if there is a demand, we can extend it. But It is really, it's a free. It will not, also for the transit operator, it will not compete with you. Basically, it's more, it works side by side by your operation. The transit operators, if they can help us really to promote this program, especially if somebody wants to go beyond your region, or to doctor appointment, anywhere, help them.
We found that we have a lot of people that, like I said, you know, they may be in Ironton that need to go out to the technical college, you know, and they don't have a way to get there, or they have a car, and they start out the beginning of the semester, they have a car, it's working, and but then it breaks down, and then they have to drop classes or you know, try to make arrangements with the instructors, or and so this is just, you know, one way, you know, that Go Ohio can kind of feed into the access to care, which we really didn't look at that to start with because it wasn't intentional. But one of the questions on the access to care survey was, are you interested in rideshare? And what I'm going to try to do is go over to Ohio Southern University and to Proctorville and some of these places and give a survey to not only ACTC but to Southern Ohio. And we can get the information from the rideshare folks from that to hopefully feed into the database which we have here. So, Vicki, do you have anything else? That okay. So that's kind of, we have a lot of work to do on it, and we'll welcome anybody that wants to help.
Well, I think from transit's point of view, I mean, public transit, you know, it's always that first and last mile that's always a problem for, you have your main trunks like, you know, Mike and Ashland and PTA do, but, you know, access either through bicycle or Uber or something else, I think it all kind of makes sense, you know, when you try to do, and sometimes you need to do it like some kind of a ride share. So sometimes those hard to get to people, you know, out in rural counties, or if we can get them into the main trunks and we can take care of them, but it doesn't make sense a lot of times to run a 35-foot bus to somewhere that maybe have one or two people that will take advantage of it. So it all needs to work together.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that, I think those, you know, trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Yeah.
And it's just really right now, it's real, real new to the Go Ohio ride share. And
sure.
So we're just kind of, right now, just kind of figuring it out.
There you go.
If you look at that, for example, and two orange areas, we're
not going to get this.
Our vans drive around that way, but their scheduled appointments, there's people that need rides in there every day.
Absolutely. Number eight, transit systems status and updates for the Huntington, Ashland, Ironton area. And I'm going to make Jennifer talk a little bit. So I'm going to call on Jennifer to talk about TTA.
Okay. First and foremost, TTA is running our levy this spring. It's on the ballot for May 12th for the primary. So we're working hard with that. It's been a place same levy was just And the West Virginia Division of Public Transit is working with DHHR and Bureau for Behavioral Health, and we've awarded grant funds, $1.5 million, to provide trips across the state of West Virginia for all of the transit authorities, for folks seeking rehabilitation, primarily in the rural areas of West Virginia, to get to medication assisted treatment or counseling. So that is a new launch. Implementing a statewide software and hardware component so that we're intertwined with the charge of the trip and implementing an answering service to answer all those calls. So that's been a pretty huge project. It is not. It's something completely different. And the model is that the West Virginia Public Transit Association is the broker, authority provide the trips. A similar model to any of the provide the trips is the reimbursement. I've been talking with ARC about that model, and a lot of irons in the fire.
I just kind of add to what Jennifer was saying. We're pretty excited that the allocation tables are out. I don't know if you've seen them, Mike. The allocation tables are out from FTA, and by the end of this month, I hope to have split letters out to you and Ashland. And so certifications and assurances are not out yet. That's up Friday. So we're hoping we'll see those in real soon. But the new master agreement for 2020 is on the website. If you want to take a look at it. It's part of our grant that we're getting ready to do. We're really all excited about it. We're installing transit enhancements. We're putting 5 new shelters in the tri-state area. And we hope, if FTA is on the line still, that I know the grant's on the boss's desk to be signed, so we're hoping that we'll see that real soon. And we're, thanks to Kiowa, there is, under the STP funds, we have 4 new buses on order, and they will be delivered in July, around the middle of July. Say it again. Okay, and that's another thing that we're doing. Under the 5310 program, there's an opportunity for a mobility manager, and we have made a decision at TTA that we are going to pull on the hire a mobility manager. So this person really won't have any other responsibilities other than transit coordination between the stuff in the TMA. So, we're talking to a person. We're hoping that she'll accept our offer and probably be on board by March, I would say. And she has kind of a marketing background, so she'll be doing some marketing stuff for 5310 and TTA also.
She's a local?
Local person. Very lots of experience. I don't want to tell you who she is yet until we've made an offer to her. She has a lot of experience, and we're excited about it. And so we're shifting some staff around at TTA and some new responsibilities. Brian has not left, so he's not in trouble. So I'm not sure everybody knows Brian. He works on our staff.
He's
but
a good guy.
He's a good guy, but he's taking on – he's going to be our special projects guy, so he's going to be moving into another area. So – hopefully by the next meeting, not Friday, but the next Kiowa meeting, we'll have, almost said her name, we'll have this person on board.
Correct me for the 5310,
yeah.
We have more money in the allocation than last year, right?
Yeah.
Slightly more money.
It's not much.
It's just 6,000.
And if you haven't seen the allocation tables, go back, it's about the same money we received last year. Okay, that's all TTA has. What about
Mike?
We are working really hard for the census, and that is so important, folks, especially over here in West Virginia. We got to make sure everybody's counted. mean, it means a lot. And we could lose a congressional seat if we don't get everybody counted. So the folks that are, the Census Bureau is trying to hire people at $17 an hour, and they can't find folks to do this. So it's really important that we get some folks in to do that. But yeah, we want everybody to vote.
Money,
and certainly could make a difference to a senior center or you know, help them acquire a van or something to help seniors and other things.
And I'm just going to kind of piggyback here. With Bellefonte Hospital closing, they had some van services that went out and picked up the patients to bring them in. They also have a 5310 vehicle that provided services too. So there's going to be a gap in services there. So mm-hmm. Like Paul said, you know, especially Greenup County, anybody knows that would really be helpful.
It's not a huge pot of money, but it can be make a difference to some, you know, just people are wanting to do something to help seniors and folks with disabilities. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 10, Transportation Performance Management Coordination Update. Celine.
Actually, Bethany and I, if we can show the target for 2020, I think, could you make the... Take a thing up that to show the
word.
I think the 2020 target for the safety are due February 27, and that basically show you all the states. Bethany, you want to add anything? That's from West Virginia, that's the performance manager.
Yeah, we received these from the state and we decided to support the state target.
Yes. Yeah, we trail over the subject for state targets for three states. But different targets for each state, for one for West Virginia, one for Ohio.
And this is yearly, so we have to adopt or support the targets every year. These are 2018 targets.
Okay, obviously we'll need to move this on to the policy board for we'll accept a motion from this body to move it to the policy board for approval. Is there a motion?
I motion.
Hi, Chris, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, thank you, Jennifer. It's been properly moved and seconded. Patrick, you were looking down to keep from having to make a motion. Come on. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. All right. Motion carries. Thank you.
Just I want to add three things. If you look at the agenda, we have three performance measures. We have one for the safety, as what we did today. It's an annual, as Bethany said. Every year we have to adopt and support. For the performance measure two, the for pavement and bridge condition, that's already been complete, and that means we have to do it every four years. And already, if you look at the TIP, already in the TIP and the MTB, and from the performance module 3, the system performance for freight congestion, that already is complete. And for the CMAQ requirement, we fall under period 2. That means that started 2023. That's where we will coordinate with RIC and BO. That's what really it is very important, and the federal government on paying attention to this. Chris, anything? Good export.
Okay, we'll move on to item number 11. So we're looking at Cuyahoga studies, brief project updates, and informational session. So Chandra's not here, but we do have, I think, is FTA still on the phone?
Yep, I am.
Can you give us an update on what's going on the federal level from your perspective?
We're still working on the desk review, and we've had, I recently joined the FTA, so I've been in on one call, but I think we have a conference call coming up this week to continue reviewing materials and gathering information and questions to send on down.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, thank you very much. Any questions for something like putting a brand new person on the spot, huh?
Yeah, no questions on my end. I'm just helpful to hear what everybody's working on.
And actually, on behalf of Kiowa and the tech committee, I would like to welcome you, since this is the first time really FTA participates in the tech through the phone. And we like you really to be in the future tech, somebody from FTA to participate, and we can learn a lot from you guys.
Well, I'd like that too. Thank you.
Yeah, just to kind of make things complicated. So our TMA has three FTA regions. So glad to hear from Region 3. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Chicago, Atlanta, I think, are the other two.
With full respect, but we count on an FTA Region 3. That's our lead.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay. Tri-State Airport Projects. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anybody want anything?
Brett is
not here. City of Huntington. Bree, you got some updates?
I think our biggest project is the Helger Boulevard corridor improvements, which have we have an approved memorandum of agreement between the various parties there, so working on kind of a final number for the collected consultants, which is Stantec, who is the planning grant with us. So we're hopeful that we'll be able to come to an agreement on what it would take.
Well, we got a lot of other things exciting happening with the BASF plant and and all that. You guys have to be really busy, and then now ACNF. So
Yes, we're at working on some roadway things as it relates to some development Marshall's working on as well. Anybody has opinions about abandonments before coming before Planning Commission? They are going to be there on March, the first Monday in March. Marshall is planning on abandoning, proposing to abandon some roads for their baseball stadium project. So,
exciting times.
Stay in the loop on that.
Excuse me. How about Chris, DOT?
We are in the process of approval for our first amendment to our recently approved STIP. I think right now it's out for public comment. That should be closed later this week, I believe. But now that we have that, we should be closely our first application. As far as the coordination, meshing of the STIP and DIP, making sure everything is kosher there. Also, I mentioned last time that we are in the development process of our long-range plan. The first long-range plan that we've had since 2010, so it's going to be a total revamp. There's been a lot of upgrades as far as the federal standards, you know, plan process. So we'll be working pretty closely with you all along the way. Right now, we're in cost negotiations with our consultant, which is Cambridge, that selected to develop that for us. That's pretty much at a on a planning level, our update. As far as projects go, we have Merritt's Creek, Huntington Mall. That one's good. Good progress made. Just driving down through there. It was they were really moving some dirt and stuff. Now, I'd say we'll probably see substantial progress this construction. Then there's another one that's going to pick up right where that one ends at the Guyandot River, and that one will go from the Guyandot Bridge all the way down to 29th Street. That was set to be awarded this spring. Now, I noticed that you have the Pullman Interchange as a potential infra grant application, but we, after talking with our commissioner and our secretary, they decided to steer away from that because we would have to delay the project just to hopefully get a grant award. We didn't want to delay any longer. We push through, get it out there. And that was the same with this other I-64 project, the I-64 project. That was a potential one that we could have applied for, but we would have had to delay the awarding of the project. So we just decided to just move on, get it out there. I mean, all this has been held up long enough. So, yeah, all of that should be in this summer. I don't know if you'll actually see dirt moving yet, but it's all going to be awarded end of this spring.
I mean, for Culloden Interchange, when the construction date?
When is the construction date? I'm not sure, to be honest. I know that it's supposed to be awarded here. I think that one was like in May or June. So they'll probably not start construction until at least the next construction.
But design is complete, right? Design,
yeah, I believe so.
It's right of way.
I think they're doing a design build with that, so we're at least 30% planned.
Okay.
And then the environmental is done. The environmental has been cleared. They're just figuring out where to tie the connector in to safety at this point.
Of course, I hate to bring that. Another thing, the curiosity too, people have concern.
I'm
nervous about this project. I thought that.
Yeah. Engineering division told me that it is still tied up in environmental.
But
because of the archaeology.
But no date when supposed to clear out?
No. I pushed them hard, and they would not give me a date.
Mm.
But as of now, I talked with Rylan and Jimmy, and as of now, still has $150 million worth of good ones set aside for it. So that's all they were able to tell me.
It's still on the program, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still, I guess they're still working on it and everything.
How about right of way? There is any right of way is clear or still an issue?
I'm not sure about that. I'd have to check. I could check.
Just people don't want to know exactly, like, if environmental one's supposed to be cleared out. It doesn't matter 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
Maybe take time. But
yeah, that's
right
the one. I actually recommended us apply for that one for infra funding. But the commissioner and secretary said that they were hesitant, like we would have had to delay all the ones on 64 to make it work with the infra time frame, but for 52, where it's tied up in environmental, it would have really caused some friction there with the scoring of the application, and it would have had to have been accelerated, which a lot of that stuff we don't have any control over, so we didn't really feel comfortable.
And nothing to do with this project with Pritchard, right? It's not related.
No, 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 no. They didn't say anything about Pritchard.
Yeah. That place. Okay.
Any other? No, that.
But the policy, they're going to bring that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I'll try to get something else on Pritchard. Or,
I mean, these people just want to know exactly what the schedule, like environmental,
yeah,
2 years.
I told him that Wayne County was really asking.
Yeah, they call, they keep calling me. I said,
yeah,
I'm like you. I have no.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could give you more. I just don't know.
Hey, anything on District 2 level?
I think he took care of them already.
Yep. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. So now we're looking for a turn to Kentucky, the central office. We have Thomas Witt here for us.
Okay, we have, great. Well, first thing I wanted to mention is we've sent our recommended highway plan to the legislature, and that was released late January, I believe it was. So it's been out available to the public for a few weeks now. And, of course, it's not final yet. The legislature will be looking at it and possibly making changes to it before enacting the final plan. But as far as the recommended plan goes, there are some new projects in this area. In Boyd County, we've got a couple new planning studies that have been recommended. Some new guardrail projects. I'm not really sure why those are being shown individually, but those are listed in the plan for Boyd and Greenup counties both. Let's see, US 60, that's being, that's from the I-64 interchange to the Kentucky 180 section, and that one's been on the books for a while, but in the recommended plan, it's proposed to be converted to federal funding. And that's about it. New projects in Greenup County as well, some existing projects that have continued into the new six-year highway plan, and some new guardrail projects. So anyway, once this gets finalized, I guess we'll have to look at either amending the TIP, the new TIP, or, okay. So it's not, yeah, it's not finalized. It's subject to change. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that and seeing if we need to do anything with the MPO's new tip. I'll also mention we've had some changes with the new administration. Our director of planning has moved on to another position, so that's that was Amanda Spencer. So her previous job is advertised now, so if anybody's interested in applying. We've got a new Secretary of Transportation, Jim Gray, the former mayor of Lexington, is replacing Greg Thomas, and he's going to be appointed to the Policy Committee as our primary representative. And I think that's about all I had from Central Office.
Hey, thanks, Thomas. Appreciate that. And I want to
have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
How about the Ashland study? That do you, is any update?
Is that the smaller bin area study? No, I don't have an update at this point. I know we've had a couple local officials and stakeholders meetings, as well as public meetings. So our Stephen DeWitt is on our corridor team, and he's the one that's managing that study, so he may have a better idea as to what the next steps are going to be.
No, about that Dina, for that the Ashland study, that to convert one way to two is Washington.
You're talking about downtown?
Downtown.
Oh, the downtown Ashland study. Yeah, I don't have an update on that at this point.
Okay, doesn't select the consultant yet.
No, I talked with them, and they said it's going to be, they're waiting until they get a little bit further along in the small urban study, and then they're going to go ahead and then assign a consultant for that. But they said it'll probably be spring, early summer before they would do that.
Okay. Yeah, it's a little complicated with those two studies going on at the same time because they're very closely interrelated with each other. So, yeah, hopefully we'll be hearing something soon on that.
Any other questions for Thomas? We do have a couple of new people back here in the corner. I'm going to put them on the spot. Carrie and Kelly. You guys got any 2 cents you want to add? What's going on? Glad you're here.
We realized that with the new grant management system that's come available online, so we've modernized and gone away from paper applications, that there have been hiccups with technology.
As always.
I'm sure Terry's probably got an email about it yesterday. But with that, you know, the delay may be possible. There may be an extension to that.
Yeah.
We don't know yet. So. We just need everybody to get registered and get their applications prepared to be able to submit by them.
Glad you're here. So we have a Boyd and Graham County project updates.
So nobody from D9 is here, I guess. So they provided a list of projects in Boyd and Greenup counties, an update. So I don't know if I need to go through all that or not, but it's there for you to look at, and if you have any questions, we'll try to get answers.
Thank you, sir.
The only thing on the Russell sidewalk, they're putting out for the fourth bid, and it should go out on, I think, March the 5th. They're having a pre-scoping meeting on the 4th of March. So that's kind of where they are on that.
Okay. Cool. One other thing I'll mention with D9, Joe Callahan, who used to come to these meetings, has moved into another position, and Michael Reed is going to be his replacement. So hopefully we'll be seeing him here in the future.
Very good. Okay, well, we're jumping all over the place, and now we're going to Ohio. ODOT update. Scott?
Not a whole lot to update you on. We'll have a set public meeting coming up. I'm going to be coordinating with Judy here this week and next week to get that together. And project wise, we got more track money. We're just to buy back to continue on with the right of way. And there's
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Now we're going to talk to Patrick, since he's been giving me a hard time all day.
I try. I just want to do that. PID 98669, that's the County Road 10A bridge at the 0.91 mile mark. It's bridge replacement. It's open to the public now, and it's, we just have some punch list items to take care of once it's in that project. We have PID 101868. That's the County Road 410 and Township Road 1012 interchange. That is a roundabout. We have that on hold. It's been canceled in Ellis because of the green tea. We don't know how the operations will be of that once the green tea gets put in. That will be put in next year. So we decided to hold back on that. So we can find out. We go ahead and put that project in this year and next year. It'll be obsolete or not functioning correctly or whatever. Operation. So we'll go back and look at that another time to see if it affects our operation. PID 103781, that is County Road 104 at the 2.40 bridge replacement. That's listed for fiscal year 23. That's a $1.577 million project. It's on page 62 of the plan. And, we are hoping to get that one moved forward. I'm going to go ahead. I know Diane's out. I'm going to go ahead and get the design build up of the bid package together, get that to ODOT, try to get that pushed forward for this year. There may be design builds this year on the federal side. There's no right of way, no environmental, because we're going behind the existing abutments, so we may be able to slide that right on through as long as the funds become available. We also have 106508. That is the US 52 at the State Route 243 interchange. That's listed for fiscal year 22. That's a $2.8 million double roundabout on the there in Coal Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just waiting on the money to become available. We still are waiting to hear on
appreciate that. Gallia County, Brett Booth?
Yeah, all the US 35 State Route 7 connector project, Gallia County 35 down to State Route 7 near the Chesapeake Bypass where 775 comes in. We've submitted this project to our regional transportation planning organization that ODOT set up in about 12 counties in Southeast Ohio. They're mainly looking at projects that are of a regional significance, which this one would be with Guy and Lawrence, other counties in Southeast Ohio. The other thing that we're working on right now, we're doing a countywide safety study with partnering with ODOT. We have WSP is doing that. So they're looking at all of our systems, county, township, state, even the village systems. We're looking at doing a full assessment of the entire county transit safety-wise. And I am certainly looking at integrating as a big part of that, looking at this connector corridor as well, bringing some of that data in. Next step, I guess, is once we our feasibility study that we're working on through with Toyota is completed, then the next step is to take that track for funding consideration.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. FY 2020 study consultant selection update. Bethany?
We had interviews, and we selected consultants for two groups.
groups of projects. We have one is the safety study corridor plan for US 57 in Ohio, and Lawrence County and HDR was selected for that study. And then in West Virginia, we have a group of projects all under one contract. There's a truck route study for the city of Huntington, parking study for the city of Huntington, a small intersection study for the city of Huntington, and then parking study for the airport. And Kimberly Horn was awarded that contract. We signed the contract with HDR, and we are in the process of signing the contract with Kimberly Horn. Should be those projects.
Very good.
Anything you wanted to add, Tom?
It's all just
good. Thank you. 2020 Infrastructure for Rebuilding America, Infra.
Yes.
Grant application. Celine.
That's me, actually. Initially, we thought we're going to go ahead and for the state to proceed with the collodion interchange. But as Chris mentioned, they decided to not to proceed with this application process. But for the Chesapeake, we're working with District 9 to submit an application for Chesapeake bypass. That's Tom Barnett's in charge, and hopefully we will meet the deadline that February 27th. And today we have really a meeting after this meeting, after this tech meeting concluded. We will meet and discuss how we're going to proceed.
Well, thank you. And we have one more with kind of Rick. We'll talk to Kara. Are you back there, Kara?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on at Charleston area up there?
Well, we actually just are working with Kendra Shane, who's just trying to produce. She's looking at safety in our two counties, and we're going to pinpoint the intersection between our safety yards. We're also getting ready to start our
Hey, well, very good. Glad you're here today. Thanks for being here. Okay, number 12, Cuyahoga Sub-Allocation Funds, STPGP and TAP, CMAC, and all of those others. Terry and Celine, you want to give us an update on those?
Terry, she's always more closely than me on the process, but Terry, any what's the outlook for?
Well, we have money. So that's a good outlook. So at least West Virginia and Kentucky. So the next application cycle, we don't have a hard date, and but we're looking probably August, September timeframe to put the applications out. We have talked about trying to modify the applications so they're not as some of them fill them out. There's lots of pages, and some of them don't really have anything to do with what the project is. So I think we're talking about maybe trying to update that this round. If not, it would be the same application as in the past. So, like I said, some of the funds can be used for transit. They can be used, which we can flex the SBA. There are projects that can be sidewalks, roadways. There are certain types of safety projects. A lot of times they can be funded at 100%. They have to go through some certain criteria, but, I don't know.
Just really, we're expecting for us one application for the CMAC from Lawrence County Transit for the another 3 years of funding. Hopefully that application. Hopefully when the study concluded by March, as the consultant promised, then we'll see how we're going to proceed with the application based on the study recommendation. And see what's the cost for the new proposed operation cost for the new route. So, can I accommodate that? Hopefully, that free money available will be 7 to 5 years. Will be that the whole?
And we will. I'll send out an email to everybody when we have the applications up and running. We're ready to go. And you want the date? We will put them on the website. So they should still be able to click onto it, download it, fill it out, print it off, or you know, email to us like a sign. So that part of it still will be the same. If there are any questions or about eligibility, just let me know. Stephanie works with it too, so.
Good. Very good. Okay, we're down to item 13. It's other business and various, and evidently we have a video that Paul is ready to short video, just an hour and 10 minutes.
The Federal Highway Administration, Turner Fairbank Highway Research Center, demonstrated truck platooning technology. This innovation allows three trucks to travel together as a cooperative adaptive cruise control platoon, or CACC platoon. CACC uses the radar sensors and electronic actuation of engine and brakes used by conventional adaptive cruise control systems available on today's vehicles. CACC adds vehicle-to-vehicle communications, enabling a smoother, closer-following vehicle control system. For each truck in the platoon, the driver continues to steer while the CACC system controls speed adjustments. When one of the trucks detects a cut in vehicle, it automatically slows down and opens the gap to a safe distance behind the cut-in vehicle, then readjusts the gap to the original distance when the cut-in vehicle leaves the platoon. Safety is enhanced using collision avoidance features like those available on vehicles now. This truck platooning technology demonstrated that CACC allows trucks to drive safely and smoothly at shorter gaps than they can under conventional manual. Potential benefits include better utilization of the highway through increased throughput, improved fuel economy, and lower operating costs.
Oh, very good. Time for a nap. Well, very good. That's interesting.
And Bethany, she selected this video for us this time.
Very good. Where's the popcorn?
We had donuts.
Oh, donuts. Yeah, okay. Future meetings and times are listed below for your entertainment. And then I guess we'll entertain adjournment, unless anybody else has anything they want to say. Any other announcements? Okay, hearing none.
Our meeting is started
at
1:30.
Thank you.
Also meeting Friday?
Meeting Friday.
Yes. Here. Thanks everybody.